Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Today's Callahan Show is sponsored by MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com and use code word Jerry for huge discounts. For example, you can get the standard MyPillow, which is normally $69.98, for only $19.98 with code word Jerry. I'd call that a huge discount. MyPillow is made in the USA, and it comes with a 10-year warranty. It's machine washable and dryable. It's the most comfortable pillow you will ever sleep on. Makes an excellent gift. Get it now, and you can support this show, and you can strike back against cancel culture. As you know, like us, Mike Lindell is constantly under attack from the cancel culture mob. By purchasing from MyPillow, not only are you helping this show, you're fighting back against cancel culture. MyPillow isn't in the big box stores anymore, so you can get factory direct pricing if you order from MyPillow.com using code word Jerry.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
All right, well, we'll start off with some good news. I don't know if it's good news. It's a relief, I suppose. They have a suspect in the murder of L.A. Grad student, UCLA grad student, Breonna Kupfer. She's the woman who was working alone in a furniture store, trying to work her way through college. Beautiful young woman, 24 years old, stabbed senselessly. They didn't rob the place. They didn't take anything. The killer, he didn't. It was a lone stabber. Well, they've identified him, and I assume he'll be, his name is Sean Lavelle Smith, 31 years old, 6'3", 190. She looks small, petite, cute, just had it all going on, was going places. He walked in the furniture store, the Croft House, stabbed her, and walked out the back door. It's one of many really disturbing, senseless, barbaric crimes we've seen around the country under all these Soros-funded DAs, the Biden-backed DAs who just let these people walk. Apparently, this guy was out on $1,000 bail. He's been arrested a million times. I just saw a montage of his mugshots on TV. He's 31, and I think he's been arrested dozens of times.
Were they violent crimes, did you see?
Violent crimes. Okay. Yes, he was, I don't know what it was, assault or something, out on bail. But they put up $250,000 reward and had a suspect, 10 minutes later. That's okay. Whatever it takes. I think the city puts up 50 grand and people just started sending in money and donating because this is such a disturbing crime. She texted a friend that a guy was in the store giving her bad vibes. And she was onto something because he turned around and stabbed her to death for no reason. Hopefully they will have this scumbag in custody. And even that dirtbag DA Gascon out in LA can't let him go now. Hopefully he'll spend the rest of his life in a cage, as he should, if this is indeed the guy. There's like five or six in the last week, just women, innocent single women, one woman in New York, 40-year-old woman thrown in front of a train, a subway, by a homeless guy who just started mocking and laughing as he was taken away. It's like a daily thing, just innocent people senselessly murdered, and then we find out the guy who did it did not belong out on the streets.
And this is another reminder for me of, people who live in states where you can't defend yourself. Like she couldn't have owned a gun if she wanted to, if she ever felt like she needed it for protection in California. Luckily in New Hampshire, we can. I would never want my wife to work in a place in a big city like LA and not be able to protect herself. I would constantly be afraid of that.
You make everything about guns, and that's okay.
Because this is a great case.
This is a great case for it. I mean, yes. I know we have the gun debate all the time, and people think, obviously the liberals think there are too many guns. Well, there weren't enough in the Croft House.
Yeah.
Because she had a bad vibe. He was in the store.
Yes.
I mean, this is a classic example, a great example of why you need the right to defend yourself. And I don't know how much training she could have gotten. She was young, but enough. She could have. She would be alive today, I would venture to say, if she'd had a weapon to protect herself.
And I don't mean to make it all about guns either. It's just that I know that you can't always rely on other people to be able to get there in time to protect you. Like, we just don't have the resources for that. So, right. So you have to be able to defend yourself.
They're defunding police and talking about sending social workers. And every day you see examples of just out of control violence. I assume today at 4 o'clock or whenever he gets around to it, 4:35, whenever Joe Biden does his first press conference in 3 months, first press conference of 2022, maybe he'll be asked about the out of control violent crime and the DAs that are there working for the perpetrators, working for the criminals and not for the victims, not for society in general. It's sick, but at least they have a suspect, a dirtbag, a career criminal named Sean Laval Smith. And I assume we'll be seeing his perp walk any minute now. I guess that qualifies as good news. At least it does for me. When I see these stories, it's so infuriating. And I can't imagine being a family member, being the father mm-hmm. of this woman. And he went on TV, he went on Fox and Friends with Steve Doocy. And he was composed. I mean, he looks tired. He looks just worn out, but he was composed. He was asking, he was saying as much, saying we have people, district attorneys, who are there for the benefit, there to support criminals, not victims. And Steve Doocy, the host, started crying. It was very emotional, very intense. I'm not sure how a father in that situation, I have a daughter about her age. I can't imagine being able to hold it together to do a TV interview. But, you know, maybe it brought more attention to the story. Maybe it led to this arrest. I'd be curious to find out. I mean, obviously, he's not a criminal genius. He stabbed her and he walked out the back door and immediately he was caught on video. Obviously, he was wearing a mask. He had a hat. He had sunglasses. But I don't think they had a difficult time tracking him down. I wonder, you know, we'll be the last people to give up the masks. Ooh. And we can get to that. It'll be criminals.
That's right.
It'll be criminals. Who rob stores, murder people, hurt people on the subways. They'll be wearing, N95s for the rest of time. But the rest of us, we can get to that. They're rolling back some of the restrictions around the world, some of the unnecessary restrictions that we've known were unnecessary for a long time. And as we were just talking about before we started recording, Carano, we live in the last bastion. This will be the last place. Boston, New York. Maybe not you, but you're close. Boston, New York, L.A., yeah. San Francisco. They'll be wearing masks and socially distanced and making kids eat outside. And the rest of the world will get back to normal. I'm not sure when that happens, but I have no doubt that we'll be like the last holdout because we have insane people, stupid people. We have a new mayor in Boston who doesn't care about the science. She just wants to virtue signal, just like in New York and in D.C. and in Detroit, Minneapolis, And these cities will be the last places on earth, I think, that will still be carrying out the mask theater and the vax mandates and every other thing. All right, we got lots to get to. We got to get to this Warriors owner, who said he doesn't care about the Uyghur Muslims because we talk about media bias, media corruption all the time, and this is another great example of it. The blackout is in full on display for all the world to see. The media, the mainstream media, is protecting the Warriors owner and protecting China, and it is sickening. We'll do our little preview of Biden's speech. CNN made an amazing hire on the yes. day on the day they announced they're forming a team that will be specifically there to cover misinformation. And on that same day, they hired one of the great purveyors of misinformation in America, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown made a little speech before the game on Martin Luther King Day and said to all the Boston fans, you're still a bunch of no good racists. And what did the Boston fans do? What they usually do. They cheered. They clapped. They applauded this guy who was dumping all over them. I tweeted about that. Got a little reaction out of people, but we'll get into that. And Michael Phelps might be the greatest Olympian in U.S. history, certainly the greatest swimmer and he's got big hands and big feet and no balls, no balls. Michael Phelps was asked about Leah Thomas. We can play you that and talk about that and ask the question, why can't people just be, why can't they stand up to that mob that is there to defend, to advance the transgender agenda? Why can't a guy, a champion, an Olympic hero like Michael Phelps, who's retired and you know, he's doing interviews, so he's willing to talk. He's just not willing to be honest. We can play you that and talk about Michael Phelps on Leah Thomas. We'll get into that and a lot more on today's Callahan Show, brought to you by DCU. Whether you're buying your first home, your dream home, or looking to refinance the home you love, DCU may have the mortgage program to fit your needs and, more importantly, your budget. Their mortgage experts will walk you through the application process and help remove the hurdles that can make it so difficult and confusing. They'll bring you right up to the front steps of home ownership. Learn more about rates and programs or to apply today at dcu.org/mortgage. DCU is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 466914, insured by NCUA. Membership required. We should do, let's do the coverage or lack thereof on
Polyapatia.
One more time.
Polyapatia. I love to I like saying his name more than I like his views.
Shamath Polyapatia, as you probably know by now, Sri Lankan born via Canada. He's now in California, a big Democrat activist, part owner of the Golden State Warriors, who said the other day, and it was, it is an amazing thing to see, because he, not only does he say it, but he looks it. He acts like he does not care about the Uyghur Muslims. He does not care about the human rights atrocities that are happening right now in China. And he is a big, big fan of the Chinese Communist Party. He made these comments, and the people like me, you know, and podcasters and probably on talk radio, just beat him about the head and face, as well we should have. And Enes Freedom, the guy in the NBA with the biggest balls, a true American hero, Enes Kanter Freedom, he went on Tucker. I just saw him. He was on CNN this morning. He holds nothing back. He said this guy is disgusting. These comments are disgusting. He expects the, you know, NBA to you know, to do something about it. They won't, which is one thing. The NBA is going to protect their own, and obviously LeBron's got no balls. Steve Kerr, I'm not sure if he's even been asked about it yet, but trust me, he will not agree with the owner. He will not say a cross word about his paymaster in China. These guys are total frauds. They pretend they're social justice warriors. They pretend to care about the marginalized people. Well, here you got the most marginalized people you're going to find in the world. You have photos of these camps, of these detention facilities. You have, you can see them in their, and they got their, like, their prison blues. Yeah. You could see the hundreds and thousands of Uyghur Muslims. We know, we've heard the stories. There's forced sterilizations. There's forced abortions. There's true human rights abuses. Some people are kicking and screaming about it. Enes Kanter Freedom is top of the list. He's been spectacular. And some in the media have talked about it. They will continue to talk about it when the Olympics commences in 2 weeks. It's hard to believe the Olympics is going to be in a country that has actual concentration camps, a country that unleashed the virus 2 years ago that killed 5.5 million people. That country is going to be celebrated by the athletes and the media. Beginning top of the list will be NBC, who's already acting as if there's nothing wrong with going on there in Chinese.
It'll be North Korea in 2026. You watch.
Yeah, right. You know, and it's true. At least in North Korea, you might get some condemnation because the NBA, LeBron, isn't profiting off it. There's no blood money going in the pocket of Steve Kerr and Colin Kaepernick and the rest of these absolute frauds. But this was a telling moment because, again, you don't hear much other than Kanter Freedom. You don't hear much condemnation here 2 days later. But to me, it is even more amazing. I don't know why I still get annoyed, disturbed, surprised at the utter lack of morals, the utter lack of ethics. I mean, I live in Boston. I you know, the Boston Globe's the biggest media outlet, the biggest purveyor of lies and misinformation you're ever going to find. Why does it still surprise me? This is a huge story. This is an NBA owner, a billionaire, saying, who cares that they're that these people are being placed to go? Who cares that there's a genocide going on in a country that is about to host the Olympics? Here's what happened. You didn't have people defending them. You had the media going into overdrive, ignoring the story.
Crickets. Imagine this was Lindell. Imagine what would have happened if he started spouting out about this. He would
have
been.
That's a good point. If this were Mike Lindell, a guy who's a damn pillow salesman and American hero, in my opinion, but not, he doesn't own a team.
Is Pauly Apatia going to get his bank accounts frozen?
That's a good question by you, Carano. Great question. If you missed it, the Bank of whatever it is, Minnesota Bank,
yeah,
or whatever, froze all of the accounts related to Mike Lindell and his businesses. There's like a dozen accounts. They will not allow him to bank with them.
And their reasoning is because you show up in the news and we're worried about that. Well, what about Pauly? Well, now Pauly Apatia is not being shown up in the news, so I guess they're not at risk. But
yeah, problem solved. They don't cover it. But let you tell me what Mike Lindell said, you know, that they there was voter fraud in Milwaukee, which if it weren't for this coordinated effort to destroy and Donald Trump and stop him from running again, between the media and the Democrats, you'd be like, yeah, whatever. People question election results all the time. A bunch of people did it in 2016. Hillary Clinton still says that the election 2016 was stolen from her, was illegitimate. Stacey Abrams still hasn't conceded the governorship of Georgia. You're allowed to question election results, just not this election result.
Right.
Mike Lindell didn't care. He did it anyway, because this is America and you're supposed to be able to speak your mind. Well, he's been canceled by everybody, as we mentioned, every day. And they've closed out his bank accounts and told him they don't want to do business with him. And I pointed out all the people who never had their bank accounts, Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Andrew Cuomo. These people didn't have their banks close them out and tell them they don't want. This is unheard of. This is un-American. But you're right. Chamath Palihapitiya will not lose his bank accounts. He will not lose his billions. He is being protected by the powerful. These people, as Jason Whitlock likes to say, they're satanic. They're satanic. This is what Satan does. He protects the powerful. As I mentioned in the movie Angel Heart, Satan protects the powerful. In this case, and this is amazing. I knew ESPN was going to go into overdrive to protect this guy because ESPN's in the tank for the NBA and for China. ESPN has spent 0 minutes on this story.
I've seen nothing.
Zero. ESPN did every, they didn't stick to sports when there was, George Floyd.
They covered the noose hoax too.
Noose hoax in Talladega. You know, they cover all these stories that aren't sports. They say, yo, we're not going to stick to sports. These are important social justice issues. One of their owners just says, I don't give a damn about the genocide in China. They circle the wagons. This is an amazing thing. They spent 0 minutes, and I knew that was bad. I knew ESPN is a thoroughly corrupt organization, political, petty, just hypocritical. They're just utter frauds. But I didn't even know this. This is according to an outfit that does, let me get the name of them, that monitors these things. They did a check. They said it had not been mentioned on ESPN. It has not been mentioned on any of these networks. Explain this to me. And I know, again, there are a bunch of corrupt liberals protecting each other. MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS have spent 0 minutes on this story. Zero.
And the other, it's not just there are some, there's Mediate, but Fox News, there's a bunch of reports out there that ESPN has said zilch, crickets about this.
Outkick has this covered, and they're the ones that reference this organization that monitors media and said that they did not spend 1 minute on it. It's called a service called TV Eyes that tracks these things, and they said they've not mentioned it. And as Bobby Burak points out on Outkick, Not a word from Malika Andrews, Jalen Rose, Stephen A. Smith, Mark Jones, Adrian Wojnarowski. He was very upset, if you may, you may not remember, at Josh Hawley for criticizing China. Adrian Woj, Woj, there were no Woj bombs about this owner of the Warriors. No, the guy who covers everything in the NBA, everything, will not mention the owner of the Warriors saying he doesn't care about genocide. Nothing from L. Duncan, nothing from Bomani Jones, nothing from Max Kellerman, nothing from any of these frauds, these cowards, these absolute hypocrites.
The only thing that I'm seeing is one short story from ESPN.com saying that the Golden State Warriors are distancing themselves from him. That's the only thing I'm seeing.
So the website, they left it to some intern of the website to aggregate a story that someone else did. But all these opinion shows all day long, nothing.
It's the biggest story too, or it should be the biggest story in sports, at least for 24 hours. What's bigger than that?
I mean, as you point out, if it were, I don't know, some other owner they don't like. I can't even think of an NBA owner. But, oh, Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
Donald Sterling said he didn't want his wife or his girlfriend to go to the games with black guys. And it was the biggest story on ESPN for a month. And they took his team away. He mentions ESPN didn't stick to sports when the following stories they had no problem covering. Kyle Rittenhouse. Jacob Blake, George Floyd, Derek Chauvin, Ahmaud Arbery, they wouldn't hesitate to cover Charlottesville. I mean, you think of all the stories they have jumped in with both feet. They will not touch this. I don't know why I continue to let this bother me, but it's just sickening to see how corrupt the media is. And they'll just pretend there was no story and they'll move on. And even if the NBA sanctions him, Enes Kanter-Freedom, an NBA player, an actual active NBA player, has been on Fox News and CNN. And that's just the two appearances I've seen. He'd probably be willing to go on, I'm just going to guess, on TTI or Around the Horn or whatever show. I don't even know what they have on the lineup anymore. I mean, they all just say the same thing. It's the biggest echo chamber in media, ESPN. Michael Wilbon, anything from Michael Wilbon on this? He's a leading social justice warrior. There are ethnic Muslims, Uyghur Muslims, being kept in concentration camps and forced to do labor for Nike and Apple and other American corporations. Does that bother you at all, Michael Wilbon? Anything, Stephen A. Smith? I know you almost died from COVID. I mean, is he not the biggest drama queen? Stephen A. Smith, once you know, he was on the brink of death. And he would have died if he didn't have the vaccine. But nothing from him, as far as I could tell. You're looking. I could see you looking.
No,
see
anything? I don't see anything from Wilbon, from Stephen A. Smith, nothing.
I wonder if there are people at ESPN. I always wonder this, at ESPN or CBS or NBC, who went to journalism school and aren't just there to advance, you know, the liberal agenda. Are there as genuine journalists who want to be real journalists and sit there in the office and go, this is a pretty big story. And does someone say, no, we're not doing that.
Not touching that
one. He's one of our guys. We are here to protect the powerful. Do you have actually that kind of interaction? Or does everybody there, are they all a bunch of ideologues who see someone like Chamath and say, we must have his back. He's one of us. It just, I don't know how you don't, you know, occasionally accidentally do journalism if you're an actual, you know, journalist.
That's not what matters anymore. We'll journalism doesn't matter anymore, at least in the mainstream media. That's not what they're after. They're after clicks, and they're after the bottom line. Of course, they're not after speaking truth to power. NBA, the ESPN needs to protect their relationship with the NBA and thus China. So I guess it should be no surprise, but it is telling and gross.
I want to get to Jaylen Brown because I got a big reaction. Since we're talking about corruption, immorality, unethics, and lack of ethics in the media, you don't get a story like this perfect, too often. I think most people, lots of people that are listening to me probably know who Rex Chapman is. Rex Chapman is the ultimate fraud. He's a guy who goes on Twitter, steals other people's content, does, you know, click here and click there and makes it his own. The video doesn't credit anyone for anything, just yes. takes other people's videos. You know, it might be a video of, I don't know, I can't look at his latest tweets because he blocked me. He blocks anybody who isn't, you know, doesn't worship him. He loves that love, that blue checkmark love is what he lives for. So anyway, I don't remember what happened, why he blocked me, but he sees like a really cool video of, I don't know, some guy giving his coat to a homeless guy or something. And all very heartwarming puppy videos. He clicks, he steals it, he pretends it as his own. He gets a million likes and lots of love from left-wing Twitter, left-wing blue check marks. That's what he does. Anybody who's got any experience knows he's just a thief and a fraud. And I'm not even talking about his, you know, his rap sheet. He's a criminal, a convicted criminal. Played in the NBA, played in Kentucky, you know, was a druggie, was a crook, was a real thief. And now he's settled into his new life as a Twitter thief. CNN yesterday hired.
Yes, yes, they did.
Hired Rex Chapman to work with Chris Wallace at CNN Plus. Let me find you the description of what they want him to do, which is hilarious. Chapman's weekly CNN show will include intimate conversations with athletes, entertainers, and everyday heroes as Chapman looks for the silver lining beyond today's toughest headlines. And they tweet out a picture with a big smile on his face, yes. and these goofy glasses, and, here's something worthy of a Rex Chapman tweet. CNN is adding Rex Chapman to its lineup. That's what they tweet. I mean, you can't make this up. This guy is known by most people on Twitter as a guy who steals. I mean, how the Globe hasn't hired him is beyond me. That's what he does. He steals people's stuff, and not just people. Occasionally, he'll go into an Apple store and steal their stuff.
That's true, too.
I'm looking. In 2015, not that long ago, he was sentenced to community service, of course, and to pay $15,000 to an Apple store. This guy didn't go in, a Walmart and, steal some DVDs or steal some, some clothes or food. He stole $14,000 worth of Apple stuff.
He did it over the course of 7 different days too. He did it. He was a repeated offender. He would go in, he would get a product, he would go to the self checkout, not actually pay, and walk out with the stolen merchandise.
Right, 7 times he did it. 7 times. So he's a recidivist thief, shoplifter. That's a lot of stuff.
Well, that's what he's doing on Twitter now. You know what the sickest thing is? I know you can't see these tweets. So there's a lounge duo named Marty and Elaine, who's famous in LA. I don't know who they are, but Marty apparently just passed away. And instead of linking to the tweet of the announcement of the death from the of Marty's death from the family, he screenshot it and put it on his Twitter account. So he's not even giving credit to the family.
No, he never does. I mean, if you follow other people, he blocks everybody who questions him because that's what a thief does, tries to cover his tracks. But constantly, he does it every day. Do you think he actually, you know, took these photos, these video? Of course he didn't. He steals them. And you see other people do that, but they credit. You know, they'll say hat tip to whoever.
Sure.
or they'll put their little handle.
Yes.
And you'll just assume that's where they got the video. This guy doesn't do that.
No.
And he takes it from people who are like, you know, cancer patients. You know, he takes it from, you know, people who really live through these heartwarming moments. So I don't know, is CNN going to require him to give credit on his new show on CNN? On the same day, CNN announced they're forming a misinformation team to cover misinformation, which will be easy because they won't even have to leave the building. All they have to do is go see, you know, all the CNN anchors who've been accused of making stuff up. I mean, well, they should have a special pedophile division too to cover pedophilia in the media, because those guys are right under the same roof too. But I mean, all they got to do is go down the hall to Rex's office and say, "We're doing a special today on misinformation on Twitter, Rex. You got a minute?" Honest to God, this was close to Babylon Bee stuff. It truly was. That Rex Chapman is going to tell his heartwarming stories. CNN, I hate to break it to you, they're not his stories. They're not his stories. This is my favorite Twitter, my favorite example of just what a fraud Chapman is.
Yeah.
He tweeted that let me get the exact tweet. He tweeted that the cops who shot Breonna Taylor. You remember in, right, in yes. Louisville, big deal.
Yes.
Cops shooting Breonna Taylor. He tweeted that they were at the wrong house. The wrong house, he writes twice. Someone writes back to him, says, Rex, I love you, but they had the right address in the apartment. Her name was on the warrant. His next response is, unfollow me. If you catch him in a lie, even if you love him, he will block you or tell you to unfollow him. He's so arrogant. He's so pompous. I can't wait to watch this show just completely fall apart. And oh, maybe it'll be funny. Maybe it'll be, we'll get to see, you know, him break down exactly how he steals all his material.
But, you definitely need something else for a hate watch besides SNL.
That's true. Well, I don't know. It's CNN Plus. I don't even know.
Oh, I think it's a streaming service. It might. You'll have to get it on like your.
I have to pay. You got to pay. This is CNN. This is how mismanaged CNN is. Fox Nation is the Fox online thing, and they did the most brilliant thing. They had, they did the Tucker Carlson documentary on January 6th, and yes. They put that on the pay service, and it was tantalizing, man. They had video, and you had to see it. They have all the Tucker interviews. They have stuff on there, documentaries, and things that really make you want to watch. CNN has Chris Wallace, that washed up old turd, and Rex Chapman. So if you want to hear what Rex Chapman's heartwarming stories, even if they're legit, you don't pay extra for heartwarming stories. They're all over social media. I mean, they might be stolen, but they're all over. You think people are going to pay extra?
Yeah, it looks like
Rex Chapman.
We don't have we don't know the price yet, but they're considering. It's reported that CNN is considering $5.99 a month to access their streaming service.
Well, good luck to that. And yeah. And I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, that's just someone is just not paying attention at CNN if they think this is a good idea, good business. But we'll see. We'll see how Rex does, and I will give it 6 months. Not even 6 months, because he's going to get caught, as he usually does, stealing stuff. And even ESPN will have to at some point say, I mean, ESPN, even CNN will have to say, we can't do this. But all right, let's get to Jaylen Brown. I'm curious to your take on this. I know where I stand, and I had a few little Twitter fights over this one because people love Jaylen Brown.
They do.
Even though he doesn't love them back. But we will get to that. First, let me tell you about ExpressVPN. You know the problem with big tech companies. Not only do they censor what you read, but they track what you do online. They track what you're searching, the videos you watch, everything you click on. They use this data to serve you ads, and they can match your activity to your true identity. Think about everything you browse, search for, watch, tweeted. They use this data to turn you into a product. The same big tech companies who are largely responsible for cancel culture are also using your information to profit off it. They cancel you. They have a goal to make money off you at the same time. That's why we use ExpressVPN, and you should too. ExpressVPN is a simple tool that protects you from big tech by hiding your identity and your online habits. ExpressVPN disguises you and prevents big tech from tracking your online activity and turning you into a product. Protect your privacy by going to expressvpn.com/Callahan. Support the show. Strike back against big tech. Keep identity thieves at bay. You can protect yourself with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN masks your internet connection and your location, which stops third parties from identifying you and harvesting your data. And the best part is, it's really easy to use. Hey, I can do it. Just go to your computer, your phone, your tablet. Go to expressvpn.com/Callahan and sign up today. Install it in seconds. And once you do, protecting yourself online is just one click away. Go to expressvpn.com/Callahan. All right, LZ Grandison, formerly of ESPN, now an op-ed columnist for the LA Times and a political contributor to ABC News. And Will Leach, founder of the late website Deadspin and a contributing editor at New York Magazine and the author of How Lucky. They bring your soon-to-be favorite sports podcast, The Long Game with LZ and Leach, to life. The Long Game with LZ and Leach covers the intersection of sports, culture, and politics, from vaccination hesitation to online betting to all the isms and phobias we've come to know. Sports not only reflects our culture, but it drives our culture. New episodes are out every Wednesday, so head to therecount.com or your preferred podcast platform to listen to the most recent episode. All right, this is a subject, a sore subject for me. We've talked about it many, many times. It drives me nuts, and it drives me nuts initially, and then it drives me crazier when I see the reaction. And we've talked about this with Adam Jones or with Tory Hunter. Tory Hunter is the best example. Tory Hunter made up an absolute flat out lie about Boston. He said he was in Fenway. A group of young fans, kids, started chanting the N-word, and a group of parents applauded them, cheered for them. He said this, obviously just made it up to slander, to defame, denigrate the city of Boston because he was having a problem. Fans were heckling him and whatever. He made it up, clearly made it up. And I will never understand why we all can't agree that that's made up. We all know it's made up, but why can't we sit there and fight back? Say, we're not going to let you lie about this city and about these fans. And invariably, the frauds that own the Red Sox take the side of the liar. They did it with Adam Jones. They did it with Tory Hunter. They will do it with the next guy. As we know, John Henry is haunted by the name of Yaki Way.
He has a keys mob in that.
Yeah. Still can't sleep at night knowing that the guy who used to own the team was racist or whatever. And so they side with the person making up the stories about Boston just to hurt Boston. It's bizarre to me why it was up to me and in the case of Adam Jones or Kirk Minahan when we were on the air, we questioned the story because it was suspect, to say the least. Nobody else heard what Adam Jones heard. Nobody, none of his teammates. Security didn't hear it. No other fans. People went out there. You know, Alex Reamer tried to find the people who heard it. Nobody heard it.
Did Alex Reamer come to the conclusion then that they were lying? That Tory Hunter and Jones were lying.
Did who come to the conclusion?
Who was going out to research this to try to find the who was on the
show?
Well,
Alex Reamer did it. Did he come? I mean, obviously the media doesn't much of them, the Globe doesn't care. They just go with the lie because that's what they do.
But Reamer couldn't find anybody, right?
Reamer didn't find anybody.
Okay,
nope.
And then did Reamer come to the conclusion that then Tory Hunter and
no, no one heard it. Right. You know, it's he said it because why would he lie? I'll remind everyone the next day in Boston. He got a standing ovation. Everybody, because they're afraid to question him in today's climate, went along with the story, went along with the lie. I mean, it's still hard to believe Tory Hunter made that thing up and then went on the air on WEEI in the morning. And one of the questions was, why can't people just believe you, Tory? Well, I'll tell you why, because he's lying. He's making it up. And I go back to this. What could be worse than someone calling you a racist, saying you tolerate this kind of vile racism? Those parents who cheered their kids who yelled the N-word, first of all, just on its face, it's silly to think that that could ever happen in Boston or anywhere in this day and age.
Of course.
It wouldn't happen. It didn't happen. And yet we're not allowed to question it. It just drives me nuts. Why wouldn't you defend your fans if you own that team? Why wouldn't you defend your city if you live here and you know he's making it up?
Yeah, and if you, the thing is, it's like if you make the claim, it's your responsibility to prove that it exists. And in a world where everybody has a cell phone that also has a camera and a recording device, we have to believe that that would have been caught on tape. And if it wasn't caught on tape, it wasn't caught on phone or something, then the question is legitimate. Did you make this up?
He doesn't have the same motive, but Jaylen Brown went before the fans in Boston on St. Martin Luther King Day and literally says the city of Boston is plagued by systemic racism.
Yes.
Okay. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. And just the opposite. The system is designed to right the wrongs. We've gone over this plenty of time. We talked about New York and Minneapolis, where they're making white people go to the back of the line for therapeutics.
That's right.
I mean, anybody who's paying attention knows there's this systemic racism. It's it's made up. It's a talking point to make you sound erudite and to get Twitter applause or ESPN applause. Now, I think Jaylen Brown's a smart guy, a thoughtful guy, but he is not telling the truth when he says this, and nobody would ever call him out. I mean, he's available to the media. Does anyone ever say, give us an example? Why do you say Boston is plagued by systemic racism? Have you experienced it? I go back all the time to David Ortiz, who was here forever, still lives here, I'm sure, at least part of the year, said he's never experienced. Damian Woody went to college here, played for the Patriots, was here for 8-9 years, said he never experienced any racism. They don't get covered. You don't hear those. The guys who get covered are the ones who make stuff up. Now, if he said, here's what happened to me at this restaurant or this hotel, I'd say, let's look at that. Let's see if he's telling the truth. Let's talk to those people. Let's find out more. But he will stick to generalities and just say,
that's exactly right.
The city is plagued. And what do people in Boston do? They stand up and cheer.
Yes.
And say, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, isn't he smart?
That's why this is used. That's why this is used. When you say systemic racism, it's because you don't have any examples. So it's a very big generality. You're exactly right. And I've made this point before, if there's racism in the system, though, then you should be advocating for a less powerful system. That's the only way to get rid of it. Because you don't want this super, super powerful racist system to have their eye on you and come after you. But they never argue for that. They're never arguing for less power in the system.
And by the way, the guys who say there's systemic racism plaguing the city, they'll just vote for the same people. You know, they would never vote out. You think Jaylen Brown would ever vote out Ayanna Pressley or Liz Warren or Michelle Wu? They would never vote to change the system. They will vote these same people in over and over again, even though the system is plagued by racism. I just want one follow-up question. That's all. Jaylen, got any examples? I mean, that's a pretty serious charge. You are saying the city is guilty of one of the worst things a city can do, have a system in place that discriminates based on race. And I think it's just the opposite. I mean, we've seen, you want to talk about discrimination? Let's talk about Asians who are trying to get into Harvard. Then you'll see real discrimination. But Jaylen Brown couldn't even do that. He couldn't say, oh, here's an example. This guy can't get a job here, or this student can't get into that school there because of their race. He can't do that because there are no examples. It's like going back to the voter rights again. You know, they every day you hear these people, Liz Warren, and every day these media people, Don Lemon, crying and screaming about voter suppression. They don't have one example, just one. I said that yesterday. There's a hunger strike going on in D.C. A bunch of activists, and many of whom look like they could use a hunger strike for at least a few days. Wouldn't it be much more effective to say, here's a person, this woman, this man, was denied their right to vote.
Yes.
Because of their race. Just one. But they can't do that because it's all made up. It's insane that there are this many people in on this coordinated effort to deceive the public. And it's working in some cases. You have these dummies at college campuses saying, it's about voter suppression, because you have this liar in the White House who today will go in front of the world and talk about voter suppression with zero examples, zero. It's a lie, and it's a lie where you're accusing your opponents of the worst thing in the world, one of the worst, of being racist. But let's just go to Jaylen Brown, because it just amazes me that no one else, I'm like alone on this, no one else cares. He says the system in Boston is plagued by racism. That is not true, and nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Systemic racism is real. It plagues the city of Boston as well as the rest of our society. Thank you to Dr. Martin Luther King, and continue with others who have sacrificed their life and platform for the cause that we all believe in. Rest assured, the fight has continued. Let's have a good game.
Okay, plagues the city of Boston. That sounds serious.
It does. Yeah, this is apartheid in Boston.
I mean, just an example. I mean, even if it's general, or even if it's made up, I don't care. What makes you think the city of Boston is plagued by racism.
Plague.
Jalen. And I know he lives here. I know everyone kisses his ass. He's treated like a god. He's making tens of millions of dollars a year. He's got it pretty good. I'm not saying that disproves his accusation, but he must know something I don't know, right? He must know something you don't know. He must know that in this system is something inherently racist. Well, if you want to get rid of it, solve it, let's be specific. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Amazing.
Name the racist thing. And then, because if you do, then you can use your stature as a professional athlete, as an icon in the city, to change it. Is there a law that you think is systemically racist? Let's look at that specifically. But they can't.
I guarantee he'll babble on about voting suppression too, which is a lie, which is a 100% made up talking point by the Democrats. They're all in on it, and the media, of course, is carrying the water. But they know when Liz Warren sits there and talks about voter suppression, she knows it's a lie. When Biden does that today, he knows it's a lie. He knows there's no effort to stop black and brown people from voting. They know it's a lie. And they know, by the way, that 80-something percent of the public disagrees with them. They don't care. They think if they could get this, if they could nationalize elections, it would make it easier, much easier for them to win office.
That's true.
To advance their agenda. So they don't care. I mean, oh, God knows Biden, Liz Warren, they don't have any morals. They don't have any, you know, any moral line that they don't want to cross. They will lie, and they will lie about something as serious as racism. Here's just one of the millions of many responses I got. And this guy on Twitter says, this guy Jason says, he's talking about people in power, the powerful politicians, the powerful businessmen and businesswomen across industries within Boston and around the country. I hope this helps.
Name one.
You're talking about politicians and business people who are systemically racist, and you won't name one. You won't call them out. That's a pretty bad thing that they're being accused of. I would think you would want to expose them, Jalen. No, I mean, you're the activist. You know, you're the one who marched with BLM. You want change. You want fundamental change. Well, I think it would start by actually identifying the problem or the person who's guilty of this. So let's hear it. Let's hear it. And again, he says this city's plagued by racism, and everyone's, hey, Jalen, we love you. We love you. And I'm going, I mean, he just pissed in your face, and you're sitting there saying you love him. It's just, I don't know why. I don't know why I let it bother me, but I do. I do. I always have. But anyway, all right, do I have time to get to Michael Phelps?
Sure.
All right, let's do Shea, and then we'll do Phelps, and then we'll preview. Today, 4 o'clock, 4:30, quarter five, 5. The empty husk of a man in the White House is going to step before the media right now. What he's doing, he's getting a list of reporters and the questions they've been assigned to ask, and he has to try to memorize it, which will be interesting because he is just not up for this job. But we will get to that and to Michael Phelps. But first, let me talk about Shea. We've been telling you about Shea Concrete for a long, long time. Today, we're sitting with the man who makes it all work, the man in charge of the whole place, my brother-in-law, Greg. Hey, Greg, seems like business is booming at Shea Concrete.
We're cranking it out, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering, what's holding you back these days?
We could use some good help.
You need people?
We need people.
How many people do you need?
At least 20 people.
20? Well, what kind of people?
We have positions driving trucks, working in the production plants, estimating, engineers, all kinds.
You need any podcasters?
You know, we do have the Precast podcast.
Well, I think it seems like a great place to work, as I tell people. It's a family atmosphere. You guys are good to your people. There's a great gym here at the headquarters. What's holding you back? Why can't you find people?
Besides being to work on time, you have to pass the drug test.
Ooh, you have to pass a drug test. That's all it takes. All right, if people want to come see you, they want to talk, what do they have to do?
Bunch of ways. They can, if they want to be a team member, they can go to SheaConcrete.com, fill out an application. They can come to any of our offices. We got 4 locations. They can call me up directly. They can email jobs@SheaConcrete.com.
And you'll give them a hat?
And we'll give them a hat.
Hats.
Yep.
All right, sounds good. ShakeConcrete.com. I saw a really cool, nice cafeteria here. Can we go have lunch?
Oh, absolutely. We got empanadas and chicken.
Excellent. I don't know what they are, but I'm going to go have an empanada.
All right, I don't know why. I know what you're going to say. I know what, I tweeted about it this morning, and people are saying, I'm looking at my buddy Greg Dickerson saying, why would Michael Phelps say anything on this subject? Why would he risk it? Well, first of all, he went agreed to an interview with Christiane Amanpour, and I believe he'll do other interviews. He was asked about Leah Thomas, the biological male, transgender female for the University of Pennsylvania, who's kicking ass, breaking records, bullying the girls, calling herself Jackie Robinson,
yes,
which is pretty reprehensible. Right. But hey, you know, she's a trailblazer here. She's wears the female swimsuit, and she lost, as we know, to a transgender man from Yale a couple weeks ago, but she's headed to the nationals and she's planning on breaking more records, and you are supposed to stand and celebrate that. Well, most people aren't. Most people know it's wrong. Most people know it's not fair. Michael Phelps knows that.
Yes.
He knows this. I mean, he's a great competitor, the greatest swimmer ever. He knows this person, Leah, has an advantage, a physical advantage, which is why she won one race by 38 seconds. Has Michael Phelps ever won a race by 38 seconds? I wonder. It's not right. It's not normal for a reason. Leah Thomas has many physical advantages. She's taken advantage of it. She's kicking ass. And Phelps doesn't have the guts to call her out. He's not alone. Lots of people don't have the guts because there is no special interest group. There is no mob more intimidating, more bloodthirsty than the transgender mob. They will not stand for anybody, whether it's J.K. Rowling's or Dave Chappelle. They will not stand for anybody questioning their agenda. And if you do, they'll come after you. And I guess Michael Phelps knows that, but still, I expected more from him. Can we listen to him, wishy-washy Phelps, kind of avoid offering an honest opinion on this?
What is your view on the Djokovic debacle and in general about athletes as role models and rule followers?
I mean, I think as athletes, we are role models. And
I think this is the one that you tweeted out. No, but did he talk about the COVID stuff first or the?
I think he talked about that as well. But
hold on, let me just scroll up here because I see there's a thread here. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a couple of cuts. He's, you know, not afraid to talk about, well, being a role model, which he is. I mean, let's be honest, he's the greatest swimmer ever. And, you know, he had his struggles with mental health and depression. And a lot of people looked at him as an inspiration and a role model. And his words matter, especially when talking about his sport. I mean, he called it very complicated, the Leah Thomas
issue.
I think
I've got it now. You ready?
Yep.
There is, as you know, a certain amount of controversy around a University of Pennsylvania college swimmer by the name of Leah Thomas. And there are some people who are questioning her, I'm not sure what the right word is, her right to swim on a woman's team. She's transgender. What do you make of that? And she's obviously doing exceptionally well. She also has been taking testosterone suppressants, but nonetheless does much better, according to the records, than her female contestants. What do you make of this particular situation?
I mean, look, like I'll say, you know, I can talk from a standpoint of doping. You know, I don't think I've competed in a clean field in my entire career. So, you know, I think this leads back to the organizing committees again. Because it has to be a level playing field. I think that's something that we all need. Because it's like that's what sports are. And for me, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. I believe that we all should feel comfortable with who we are in our own skin. But I think sports should all be played at an even playing field. I don't know what that looks like in the future. But it's hard.
What do you want from him? I think that was a, that, no, no, no.
I wanted to say it's not fair.
No, no, that's what he says. He's saying this is not a level playing field.
He almost did.
No, he said we need a level playing field, and this is on the people who are organizing the events, the NCAA and whatever. He would no. He
almost did.
You're too hard on him. No.
See, this is the best example of someone afraid to speak honestly.
No.
Because he knows how unfair it is. His mind is, you can hear his mind going, and he's saying, it's like doping. Obviously, she has an advantage. Obviously, it's not fair. But he won't say it.
The way you described it, of him being squishy, I don't think that that's it at
all.
That's
squishy. No. That's the definition. That couldn't be squishier.
What are you talking about? He said, we need a level playing field. And the organizers need to take care of this. I don't know what this is going to look like in the future. I think that was perfectly fine. Come on.
Well, this is the definition of being wishy-washy, squishy.
No, it's not.
As it was, you could hear me go, it's hard. No, it isn't hard.
He's
it's
talking about
easy.
The principle of
She's
the situation.
She's not allowed to swim against the girls.
I know that
because
you love...
Because that would not be a level playing field.
I know
he didn't say that.
I know that you love specifics and individual stories, but he's talking about the principle of the situation, which is a much more powerful... perspective to come from. The principle is we need a level playing field, and this is on them to create it. I think that was perfectly acceptable.
Well, you know how it is? You don't let her swim against the girls.
How hard is it
to say that?
But it's not just about this one case.
I know this is hard, Michael. This is complicated, but how's this? It's not fair. It's not right. Why can't he say that?
No, you're too hard on him.
He wants to. He wants to. You can hear it. He wants to say she going against girls. Leah Thomas, a biological man going against girls, is like when you're going against people on steroids. They have an advantage, and it's not fair. They need a level playing field, and he's about to say it. He's this close. That's why I had hope for him, because he wants to say it. He came close to saying it, and then he goes, it's hard. I want everyone to be comfortable in their own skin. She can be as comfortable as she wants in her own skin. She looks pretty comfortable. She just can't beat up the girls. Bully the girls.
He said it needs to be a level playing field and people should be free to be who they are, too.
Which is it?
It's both. It's not.
It's both? Just because I'm going to throw this to you. You look like a swimmer. Have you ever been a swimmer?
I mean, I can swim. I'm a surfer, but I'm not a swimmer. Not like competitive swimmer, no.
Should Leah Thomas be allowed to race against the girls?
I don't care.
Okay, you are as gutless as he is.
It's not about gutless. It's
hey,
NCAA
yes or no. This is a
wrong.
Simple question. Should Leah Thomas be allowed to swim against the girls?
I don't care because the NCAA
is not an
all
answer.
Screwed up.
I need a yes or no.
I'm not going to give you a yes or no. I'm saying I don't
but
care.
You're pathetic. No wonder you're siding
pathetic.
You're supporting him. You're the biggest squish than he is.
That's bullshit. No,
I don't care.
I'm sorry that I argue from the principle of situations as opposed to one specific little like outlier
a yes or no. That's really tough to get a yes or a no.
I
don't believe you.
We've
don't care.
About
it's
this
a
before.
Very emotional issue.
It's
people
not for
care.
Me. I don't care.
You've seen because I forced you to. You've watched this story unfold. You have an opinion and you're afraid to give it. You're as bad as Phelps.
I'm not afraid at all. I'm
you're
telling
just
you
not
the...
as important as he is. Do you have big
whatever.
Feet with webs like he does?
Yes.
He's got webbed feet. That's why he's so good. I cannot believe he can't just say. Caitlyn Jenner said it wasn't fair. Caitlyn Jenner, who is a transgender icon, said this isn't fair. Why can't Michael Phelps say it?
What I'm saying is there's no objective criteria, and that's dumb. They set this up the wrong way, and that's what he's saying as well.
See, you want to make it complicated, just like he does. It's not complicated, and you guys, neither of you have the guts to answer. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of support, at least when I tweeted about it, you hear about it all the time. See, people say, he's got too much to lose. He's got all these endorsements. That should scare everybody. That should bother everybody that a guy with lots of endorsements is afraid of losing it, like Mike Lindell. If he just says, this isn't fair to the girls, you're standing up for the rights of women, which is what J.K. Rowling does and Abigail Schreier. These people stand up for the rights of girls and women, and they're labeled bigoted and racist, and that's not enough. They try to destroy you. I can sit here and attest to that. They will try to destroy you if you say something they don't like. That should bother everybody. And I guess I don't blame Michael Phelps. He's got millions at stake. And if he says one little thing, like I want him to, says that's not fair, it's not right, she shouldn't be allowed to swim, he could lose millions. That should be a story. Gee, maybe ESPN will cover that. The fact that this mob will destroy someone for having an honest opinion, that doesn't fall in line with theirs. It's just scary, scary, scary. But you're as bad as he is. I'm going to stick to that. You're as bad as Michael Phelps.
But all right, whatever you say.
Anyway, big speech, press conference today. I guess it is a speech and a press conference from Dementia Joe. What do you expect? Do you think it'll be? See, I always get my hopes so down the bar so low.
Yes.
That if he just doesn't, you know, fall down walking up to the podium,
pee himself.
It's, yeah, if he doesn't, his teeth don't fall out, if he doesn't wander off into traffic, then it will be deemed a, you know, B+ by the media. That's what's going to happen. He'll get through it. He'll call on some of his allies in the media. He knows what they're going to ask. They've been told what to ask. He'll get through it, and everyone will say, well, it wasn't that bad. That's what's going
to
happen.
That's basically what they're going to be able to say about it. But we'll have good cuts, I'm sure. I mean, he always screws up.
I know, and we'll see. They'll put some words in the teleprompter that he just can't handle. And, by the way, he's going to have to name some names. He hates names, does not like names.
He doesn't.
How about when he calls on the media and he only uses their first name because the last name is too hard?
It's too much.
He'll say, oh, Mike from AP. Where's Mike? The guy would be like, me? I'm here. I don't know. But they'll be there to help him as they often are. We'll be watching and we will break it down and analyze it tomorrow. But that will do it for today. Anything else there, Squish?
Don't call me that. I don't think. I mean, there's the Boris Johnson thing. Looks like we could. You know, I've got sound on that. There was the Julie Kelly stuff. I thought was really interesting. But maybe that'll hold until tomorrow anyway.
We're trying to get her on next week, which would be good. She's done amazing work. And as we mentioned earlier, we can do it again tomorrow, but they're starting to roll back some restrictions in some of the Western world.
Yeah.
The masks, the mask mandate, it's happening. It will take forever for it to get to our city or our
place. I think 20% chance Biden says something about it today.
Doesn't he have to? Well, he's going to have to talk. He's going to do the same thing about please get vaccinated. And as I often say, who out there is not vaccinated who's going to be convinced at this point by this doddering old man? It isn't happening. It's a waste of time, but he'll do it anyway. He'll just talk about vax, even though we all know you could still get it. You could still spread it. He acts like that revelation never happened. Like he acts like you still protect society when you get vaccinated. Maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he's not aware that vaccinated people are getting COVID and spreading COVID, but maybe someone will fill him in before he takes the stage today. But we will be watching, but that will do it for today. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show, and we will do it again tomorrow.